where you delivered the scriptures this morning. Hope our minds are tuned and our hearts are tuned to hear God's word this morning. We appreciate and we welcome you to the body of Christ here that meets at this location on Jefferson Avenue in Newport News. We hope, trust, and pray that as you're here today that you are gathered for the purpose of worshiping God and in spirit and in truth, to grow closer to God by hearing his word, by worshiping with him, and also by fellowshipping with your with the brothers and sisters of Christ, like saints of like precious faith. If you're new to the body of Christ, we hope that you will listen to the word and be attentive. Hope that we can share something that will cause you to think along your way and to question whether you are of the faith, whether you are pursuing the path that will lead you from earth to heaven one day. And certainly we are people of God. We go by the word of God. That's the only thing that we follow, is what God says. And so we're here to help you understand better what thus saith the Lord. This morning we're here on behalf Brother Dismuke, who is away. He's in my hometown. He's in Denver, Colorado today, preaching for the Brighton Church of Christ, one of the suburbs of Denver. And so hope him and Sister Dismuke are having a great trip and spreading the word of God out in the western region. And so we're here today, and we want to speak to you today. We want to continue a little bit from what we talked about, part two. I cut off part one a few weeks ago when I spoke, and so we're in part two of the hole in your holiness. Today we want to look at some reasons why you might have that hole in your holiness. As was read and set up in our hearing today, Paul, in instruction in Ephesians, said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself glorious, a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Throughout scripture, we see this idea of being without spot and without blemish. We see in the Old Testament that they will bring a sacrifice. As they brought their sacrifice, they just couldn't go out there and get any old sacrifice to bring to God. But their sacrifice had to be holy, without spot, without blemish. You had to take the first of your fruits, the best of your fruits, in order to begin to bring it to God. And so this established a standard with God. Whatever God does, he wants it to be holy. He wants it to be without spot. He wants it to be without blemish. As he did here, as Paul says, he wanted to present the church to himself glorious, not having spot, not having wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. As we set up our lesson the last time, we talked about how our mothers were so zealous in making sure that we were, that as we appeared to the world, as we left the house, that we were without wrinkle. They made sure that your clothes were without wrinkle. They made sure that as best as they could, they didn't have spots on it. They just didn't let you pull out clothes that were dirty and put them on. To the best of their ability, she made sure that the clothes she laid out, and most of the time, at a younger age, mother laid your clothes out. This is what you're wearing today. And she made sure it was clean. She made sure it didn't have any blemishes. And if there was something wrong with it, she took it and she hemmed it and she did whatever she had to do to make sure that, so that when you left the house and were presented to the world, you walked out there representing her. And she didn't want you going out there representing her just in any old kind of fashion. She wanted you to be right. And so the Lord Jesus wants us to be right, because he wants to present this church to himself. He wants it to be glorious. He wants it to be without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, so that we can stand before God. And so as we look at our lives, we talked about last week, the hole in our holiness is just like having holes in our clothes, like leaving the house without having our clothes properly attired and without mending and without making sure our clothes are ironed. We have a hole in our spiritual garments, our spiritual holiness. Now today, I know that it is quite fashionable. My wife, she gonna hit me with this. She looking at me funny. But today, we will go out and spend top dollar to buy stuff that manufacturers have made that looks like they already got holes in it. Now, my daughters used to ask me, "Daddy, would you buy me something?" No, I came from a generation. You remember, you come from a people where you had holy clothes. Well, that was embarrassing. And so we did our best, even if you had to patch them up, you did your best to make sure that your clothes was patched up and hemmed up. But now today, that's fashionable. That's a style. We have stuff with cuts and stuff in it, and I understand that style, but it's just me. I can't spend top dollar for something to look like somebody already wore it. I can't spend top dollar for somebody to look like they was working out in the field with it all day, and I'm going to put it on and walk around. That's just me. Now, if that's you, your fashion. But spiritually speaking, that's not a problem. But when we speak spiritually, we can't go out before the Lord with holes in our spiritual attire. We just can't do it. We have to be complete. And as I talked about in the last time in our talk together, you know, we've got some little holes in our garment, but we just don't care that they're there. Now, you know, when you have a hole, when you realize, Brother Mahone, when you put your keys in your pocket and you take two steps and your keys are down here on the floor, you got a problem, Brother Mahone. Now, if you either you have to make some choices, you're going to put your keys in some other pockets, or you need to get in there and take those pants off, turn the pockets out, and hem it up so that your keys won't go to your floor. But those of us, sometimes we've got holes in our holiness, holes in our spiritual garment, and we just decide, well, I didn't really need that pocket. I just put stuff over here. I just switch. It's there. I know it's there, but Chris, I just got to remember, don't put nothing in that pocket. But what happens when you get a hole in the next pocket, in the next pocket? And what happens when all your pockets have holes in it? What are you going to do? So we are like that. We got holes in our garment. We got holes somewhere. We got some holes. It's not bad if you have a hole here or someplace that's not so obvious. But what if it starts to get into some personal spots? Have you ever had that unnerving feeling when you go somewhere and you stretch and you hear, or worse yet, you get somebody, you bend down, and you hear that familiar sound that lets you know that material has torn apart and you're at work. And now you have to do this. Folks, I need to go home. You ever had that feeling? That's what some of us are like spiritually. We got some holes in places. We don't want to fix them, so we're just running around trying to cover them up and trying to pull them down. So we look at, is there a hole in your holiness? Why is there a hole in your holiness? There shouldn't be one, because here in Ephesians, the Lord, Paul said that the Lord wanted to present to himself a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that we should be holy and without blemish. So if that's what the Lord wants, then why do we have holes in our holiness? Why are we spiritually holy today? Not holy like God, but holy meaning we've got some things we need to fix. So we look at today, why are we so holy? Where did we get this hole in our holiness? Where did it come from? God didn't, when you were baptized and you put on Christ, did Christ put you in some holy garments when you was baptized? Did he put you in and clothe you in righteousness? So when you were baptized, you came into the faith, you were clothed in righteousness. You put on Christ, you took off the old man, you buried him, and you put on Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, he said, don't you know that as many of us, chapter 6 and verse 3, as many of us have been baptized into Christ, what have we done? We put Christ on. We put him on like a robe. We put him on like a garment. So now we're robed and we're clothed in righteousness. He sanctified us. He set us apart. So now if we didn't start out like that, why do we have a hole in our holiness today? You didn't start out holy with holes and with things in your garment. So why do we have them today? We have to look at the pursuit of holiness does not occupy the proper place in our hearts. That might be a reason why we have holiness. There are some people in history that came to this country. They settled up in Massachusetts in about 1620. And those people had separated from England, and so they were called Puritans. You ever heard about the Puritans? They were so zealous, they wanted to be separated from the King of England and the Church of England and the Anglican Church. So they came over here and they were called Puritans. Now they didn't call themselves Puritans. You know who called them Puritans? Everybody else that talked about them, because they were just so zealous for doing things in a certain way. They didn't want to have any detanglements in the way they lived their lives. So other people called them Puritans. They were known to Puritans and other people. So I use that as an example. You know, how we known Are we known to be people of holiness, and because we're so zealous for that which is righteous and that which is holy? See, I think we want to be religious, but we don't want to be holy. We want to be religious. We don't mind being religious. We don't mind to know that people that know that we're religious and that we are zealous for our religion and for doing things that are right. But holiness is a different level. Holiness is a whole different other level. And I don't know if we have the proper pursuit for holiness in our hearts that maybe others have had in other periods of time in history. So that's a question we have to have. Where do we get this hole in our holiness? Where did it come from? Is the pursuit of holiness occupy the proper place in our hearts? Do we equate holiness with abstaining from a few taboo practices? Or is godliness to us meant to be that we're just avoiding the no-no list? See, we all, you know, we got our few taboo practices, you know, okay, I'm not going to try to smoke and try to drink and do all this. So we got our little no-no list. But I want to tell you today, that's not holiness. That's not holiness. Just because we have a list, because we have some behavior, we've changed and modified our behaviors, that's not holiness. That's not God. God didn't give you a list of behaviors and say, Brother Mahone, don't do this, don't do that. In other words, God said, come what? And walk by faith, not by sight. The scripture tells us what? Putting and laying aside all filthy naughtiness and superfluity, let us take the grafted word, which is able to save our soul. James chapter 1. So we're supposed to, Hebrews chapter 12 says what? I'm trying to think of the other passage, but we're to lay aside all those other things so that what? We can walk after the newness of life, that we can pursue holiness. So it's not about getting a list of things we don't do. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. But spirituality and holiness is about pursuing after God every day. What can we do to be more and more like God and his image? But for us, holiness, we equate it with abstaining from a few taboo practices. Okay, and that's our proof. And some of us, that's our proof that we're not doing these things. Well, I'm not drinking. I ain't smoking like I used to smoke. Well, go to the graveyard. There's some dead people ain't doing those things, but that mean they're holy? There's some dead folks ain't drinking and all that. So that's just not enough to prove that we're holy just because we're not doing some things. The rich young ruler in the scriptures got caught up in that. You know, he wanted just another thing. Good master, what thing can I do to inherit eternal life? He just wanted to know, what's another thing? We just want to, well, what's just one more thing? What can I do? What's just one more thing I can do? And you know what God says? Do it all. Do all of it. Put me first. If any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's, you don't need a list. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If you don't get that one, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. That's what you need to do. Deny self, seek the kingdom. Deny self, seek the kingdom. Now, when you get in a pattern of denying self, not letting self have everything it wants, taking up the cross, following Christ, guess what? You will be so busy. You will be so busy that you won't have time for anything else. But for us, we've simplified our Christian life down to just a few taboo acts that we avoid. And so those are our big things. Well, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I gave up this. I gave up that. And I ain't cussing no more. So we quit. Okay, I'm good. That's not holiness. You got a hole. Because what happens when you focus on them things, guess what's coming in? There's a whole lot, like Michael Jackson said, keep it in the closet. You got a whole lot of stuff in the closet that you ain't willing to deal with because you focused on these things. I'm focused on, hey, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. And at the same time, the devil's just sitting there laughing. Yeah, you're not doing this, but you did this. You're not doing this, but you was thinking that. Well, I'm not doing that. Yeah, but you thinking a whole lot of unrighteous not. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said it's not just what you do, but what did he say? What's in your mind? It's not the fact that you don't kill your brother Mahone. Are you thinking evil thoughts about him? You thought about killing him? No, you didn't do it, but you thought about it. You didn't think about it. You didn't commit adultery, but you thought about it. You didn't take the people's money, but you thought about it. So Jesus gets down to the thoughts now. And so if we want to be holy, guess what we got to get down to? The thoughts in the mind. Paul said in Corinthians that we've got to take every thought into captivity. captivity. We got to bring it into captivity and bring it in subjection. So that means if you're going to be holy, you can't just have random thoughts all over the place and think just because you're not doing physical actions, you okay. Just because I'm doing the physical actions, just because I'm not out there running, yeah, but you in the streets in your mind at home, Brother Mahone. You're not out there running them, but you thinking about them at home. You wishing you was that back out there. Some of us that got too old. We're not cool anymore, so we can't run them, but back in the day, I used to be, you still thinking about them. You like Lot's wife. You can't turn around because I remember back in the day we was doing this. And so we're still thinking about our former life. We done put on Christ. We done supposedly buried the old man, but some of us went down in the water grave of baptism and we kept the old man in our pocket. And so we can pull him out every now and then we can put him away. Okay, old man, go in the closet. I'm going to church today. But he'll be there Monday when you get back. The old man, his old ways, our old ways of thinking, he's still there. And he said, you got to put him away. And so even though you buried him in the watery grave of baptism, he said, every day you got to do what? You got to nail him to the cross. Every day he got to die a little bit more. See, the thing is, we did this one act here back in time, but the old man might not have died completely when we got baptized. Because he still keep popping back up in your life. Old man still keep popping back up. He's still popping back up, still get you to do things. So he's not completely dead. So how do we get rid of him? Every day. Every day. You got to keep nailing him. Paul said, I buffet my body every day, taking every thought into captivity. That means every day, because the mind is so rampant that thoughts just slide in there, even when you're not trying to. Remember Brother Greg last week, he was talking in his lesson. He said, just try to go a day and just try to keep your thoughts on good things and pure things all day. That's a workout. Because it's just that easy. Somebody cut you off in traffic and that easy, your thought goes, man. And be really back in. Somebody say something to you, and it's easy to go to that end. Somebody do something to you, and it's easy. Because our thoughts and our minds. So that means this holiness thing is some work. We got to do some work. We got to work every day and roll up our sleeves so that we can be holy. But do we equate holiness with abstaining from a few taboo practices? What about what fear of passion, the fear of passion for holiness makes you a holdover from a bygone era? Let's look at 1 Peter 2 and 9. Sometimes we don't want to be holy because they don't think, well, there's something wrong with us, that we're weird. We're a holdover from a bygone era, a time when today people are not into holiness. People, the society as a whole is not into holiness and not into things that is good. We have seen that. We see that now. We see the lack of civility in our life. Even in public life, our public leaders don't have any civility. There's nothing out of bounds. You can say anything about anybody at any time, and it's cool. So when our society, the standards of our society start coming down, for you to be holy means you're going to do what? You're going to stick out compared to them. But do we want to do that? Peter says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. We are called from the darkness into the light. But I look at that, we are a peculiar people. Now, what does peculiar mean to me, or mean to you? I looked it up, and it's interesting. Peculiar means to us means what? Different. What else? Huh? Weird. So when we've read this scripture, we've heard that preached, we like, anybody want, who want to be peculiar? Because if you're peculiar today, what happened, Matre? You get bullied. You come in with some weird shoes on, you're going to get bullied. So we love a lot. Everybody, you know, your kids, you got to have Nikes. They don't come to school with Nikes on, what's going to happen? They're going to get beat up. They come to get with some odd shirts on, they're going to get beat up. So that's society. Society forces you to come in and fit in this pattern. So when we read this as Christians, that we're supposed to be a peculiar people, we look at that like, I don't want to be peculiar. No, I ain't trying to be peculiar. I'll be trying to be a Christian, but I ain't trying to be peculiar. But we look at that, you go back to the original text, and in the Old English, this peculiar means personal. We're God's peculiar, means we're his personal possession, we're his personal property. So if you go back and look up that word today, it even still has that listed as one of the definitions. It means personal, somebody's personal possession. We're your peculiar, we're God's personal possession. So it's not necessarily talking about we're weird and we're odd. You don't have to be weird or odd. We're not just such a people that just so when we walk in that nobody can get along with us, that we're not pleasant to be around. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying that we're God's personal possession. We belong to him. All right? He says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar. We're God's people. So that we can show forth the praise of him who have called us, what? Out of darkness into light. So we're God's peculiar people. Not weird. We're God's peculiar people and that we're God's personal possession. And he's called us from darkness into light. And every day we're living to what? Show forth the praises of him who've done that. So we're just out there trying to show God is our master. We're just trying to show forth that we belong to him. And in our lives, every day we're trying to manifest that we belong to him. So we don't have to have a fear of being passionate about holiness because that's what you're supposed to. Your life is supposed to be because you belong to him. If you really belong to him, why should you be afraid to be holy and to do the things that God would have us to do so that people can see us and know that what? We belong to him. That's why we pursue holiness so we can show forth the praises of him who called us from darkness into the marvelous light. Jesus said, when he comes back on the last day, he said, if you deny me before men, guess what he's going to do? I'm going to deny you before my Father, which is heaven. If you acknowledge me before men, guess what he's going to do? I'm going to acknowledge you. So when you come standing before the Lord, he's going to look at his Father like, do we know him? Don't think so. The Father like, do we know Brother Mahomes? Lord, yes, his name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. His name is written. He obeyed. Or is he going to look and say, Father, we don't know this one. And then you're going to be, Lord, Lord, didn't we? And he's going to look at the Father. We don't know him. Wow. See, so we're trying to show forth the praises of him who have called us. Have the world called you or has God called you? You in the church, you belong to God. You're his peculiar people. You belong to him. He called you. So why are we so afraid to be holy at work? What do they got on you at work? Who called you? Who called you out of the darkness into the light? Where would you be if you were still in darkness? Where would you be if you were still living that life that you used to live? So why can't we go to work and act like we're holy? Why can't we go to work and let other folks know that we are pursuing holiness? Why are we afraid? It's a hole in our holiness. We are God's possession. Titus 2 and 14, we just read that. This is in Peter. Let's see what Titus have to say. Titus 2 and 14. We're God's people. We belong to him. So why are we afraid to acknowledge him and do his bidding and to let people know that we are really wholly, intently focused on doing what the Lord have us to do? Titus 2 and 14. Titus 2 and 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. There's that word peculiar again. We're God's personal people, but we are zealous for good works. The pursuit of holiness means that we don't mind going out there letting folk know who we are, what we're about, and that we're zealous for it. Have you ever seen people that are zealous for something? Zealous for something? You know, today a lot of people will sit at home and watch the three initial game. What's the three initial game? N, F, and L. Them three initials, N, F, and L. And according to, if you watch the movie Concussion, in that movie he said that the NFL owned Sunday. That's what he said in the movie. The NFL owned, that's why they were trying to get the doctor not to go and reveal the concussion result, because he said, you're going against they own Sunday. Who told them they own Sunday? I thought Sunday was the Lord's day. But a lot of us are thinking we own that the NFL on Sunday. But I'm saying this to say this, that as far as zealousness, you got your team? Do you mind showing who your team is? I was at the store yesterday. I had my hat on, and I talked to other people in line. They had their stuff on, but we don't mind it. We got it on our bumper stickers. We got a little something out. So we zealous. We don't mind showing who our team is, our hometown. We rep our team. So how come we don't rep the Lord like that? Why don't we represent the Lord like that? We don't mind talking about the Saints and about the Falcons, about whoever we like, but why don't we do that for the Lord? Why are we scared to be holy and to represent and to be holy like the Lord? There must be a hole in our holiness. Jesus came to save us from our sins in Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 when they talked about his name, you know, that he's going to be the Messiah because he's going to save the people. He came to save us from our sins. Why can't we be holy? He came. Who else came to save you from sin? Did the Falcons come to save you from your sin? Did the Golden State Warriors come to save you from your sins? Did the Alabama Roll Tide, are they going to save you? Is Nick Saban going to save any of us in the last day? It's fun to watch it on Saturday, but folks, we got to be holy. Nick Saban ain't saving none of us. So we need to put those things in our proper perspective so we can deal with this hole in our holiness. Our culture of cool is to blame. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Well, we cool. Our culture of cool is to blame. Everybody wants to be cool. Nobody wants to stick out. Nobody wants to be different. We all try to be cool. And so in the effort to be cool, we sacrifice a lot of stuff. We're looking at YouTube clips and the different movies and different things we accept in our life so we can be cool. Everybody wants to be cool at work. Being cool may not always mean, being holy may not always mean you're going to be cool with the world. To have friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. To be friends with the world. So you out there trying to be cool and be recognized as being cool with the world, then you might be making yourself an enemy of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your... It's your service. He said it's not unreasonable. It's your reasonable service. And be not conformed or fashioned to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect or complete will of God. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be transformed. But we're out there trying to be cool. We're trying to be cool with the world, trying to keep up with the cool culture of the world. You keep up with the cool culture of the world, you're going to have some holes in your holiness. Because what the world thinks and what the world does, you may be cool, but it's going to cost you in the last day. When you get up before Christ with your cool self, he's going to send you to a hot hell. Let's see how cool you are down in hell. I'd rather be a nerd or whatever they want to call me down here on earth and to be accepted by him than to be cool and accepted down here now and then go to a devil's hell in the end. So it's a choice we have to make, but that cool culture gets us. We don't want to, we grew up in school. You know, you always tried to have to fit in with the cool people in school. Try to fit in with the cool crowd. But Montreal, you had the cool crowd. Was you one of the cool folk at school? But Montreal, was you the cool one at school? A little bit. But Montreal don't want to tell us no. He was one of them cool ones at school. But one of the things I learned about those cool folks, go back years later, and you know, like Oprah and them different shows, you know, them shows where they go, where are they now? Do your own personal, where are they now? Go back and look at them folks that you thought was cool back then. Some of them is dead. Some of them is in jail. Some of them don't even know who they are. Their minds have been blown and messed up by every experiment of drugs and alcohol. Go back and find them cool people now. You know, there might be a few of them that were able to get over the hump if they had a good family and all that stuff. But most of them cool folk, you go back now, like, y'all were the cool ones? I was happy to be who I was. I wasn't out on Saturday night. I'm not ashamed to say it. I was at home shining shoes and getting my clothes ready for church, watching Fantasy Island in the Love Boat. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Fantasy Island. And the Love Boat. Y'all know that? ABC, Saturday night, Fantasy Island and the Love Boat. And two pairs of shoes, mine and my daddy's. Getting ready for church. Getting ready for church. My daddy didn't let me be out in the street running with the cool folk because he knew the cool folk wasn't nothing cool out there. And he gave me the chance, and when he gave me a chance to make my own decisions, I went. He said, okay, you can go to homecoming, whatever. And I went and came back and said, Daddy wasn't done to it. I don't even know why I wanted to go so much. But I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool. I thought there was something there. Turns out the time I did go, somebody got shot. Somebody pointed a gun through the window, shot a kid there. So they let me know, I don't need to be out there. But see, our culture of cool is to blame. We're trying to be cool and stay up and be fashion with the world, but Paul done told us what? Don't be conformed. Be transformed. By the what? Renew your mind. So that you can understand what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That's what we're trying to do. What is the perfect will of God? It may not be cool, may not be in fashion, may mean that you're a little out of step with society, but it's okay. Because in the end, when the master comes and says this, and the world order comes in, when God comes in the end, everything's going to be rearranged. What was up is going to be down. What was down is going to be up. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So I don't mind being last and being marginalized down here to know that what? That God is going to make me first in the end. Culture of cool. We do not want to confuse addictives and imperatives. In other words, what God has done versus what we should do. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. There's a difference between what God has done and what we should do. What God has done is an indicative, but what we should do is an imperative. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Paul says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We need to be perfecting or completing our holiness in the fear of God. You know, we need to be cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and all of the spirit. So here we have Paul saying it here. We have James saying, putting away all filthiness and superfluity of righteousness. Let us receive and accept the engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. Paul says here that we need to cleanse the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the what? The fear of God. That's what should be molding of us. The fear of God. The fear of God, and having the fear of God is the knowledge that begins everything. When we fear, that's not we're cowering in fear, but fear here is what? Respect. Having a healthy respect of God, we need to be perfecting holiness, because one day that Almighty God that we should be respecting and fearing is going to come back and require it of us. He's going to require that we've been holy and that we have walked holy. Who do we blame for our holy righteous behavior? Who do you blame for your holy righteous behavior? Look at 1 Peter 4 and 4. Then I'll tell you what I mean by who do we blame for our righteous behavior. 1 Peter 4 and chapter 4. Peter says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. Now, this is your friends. They speak evil of you because you don't run to the same excessive riot. Now, let me take you back again. Somebody would come to my house, one of my little friends when I was young, knock on the door. Hey, can you come out and run and come over here, come to my house, or can you go play? Can we go ride bikes? Now, I don't know about you. I just didn't say, hey, Mom, I'm gone, and hit out the door. There was always this go back, hey, Mom, so-and-so asked me to come go over here and do this. And then your mom like, where you going? Who you going to be with? What time you coming back? Your room clean? Your clothes put up? Did you do your homework? Did you do what your daddy asked you to do? Did you cut the yard? And so after you go through all this list of did you, and this, they're like, okay, I guess you can go. Be back for dinner time. And so you go. So that's the process. You gonna do something? You ask for permission. Now later on, when you get to a point where you starting to get a little bit older and stuff starts to come to you, people start to ask you to do stuff, Montreal, you know, like, man, I don't know, I don't need to be going down there. Come on, Montreal, let's go down to the pool house on Beale Street. Let's go shoot some pool, drink a little dark liquor and hang out. You know you shouldn't be there. But what you do, because you don't have the convictions of the faith and your convictions to stand up and say, man, I don't need to do this, I ain't doing it. What you do? Man, let me go check with my mom. So you go back and you come back, man, you know, man, I'd like to go hang with you, man, but, you know, man, my mama ain't going to let me do that. I can't go. And so we do this. So mama becomes a blame. Even when we get older, we still be like, we don't stand up and say, man, I just, because you know you shouldn't be doing it, but we still say, well, let me go check with mama. Mm-hmm. And guess what your friends do? They say, okay, all right, yeah, go ahead, my child, we'll catch you later. They wait till you get to a place, you get out of college, get out of mama house, or you get somewhere on the road away from home, and they come at you. Come on, Montreal, let's go do this. Guess what? Mama ain't there. Mama ain't there. What you gonna do? You can't blame mama. They know it, that you can't go ask mama. You can't do it. And you gotta stand up. Either you gotta stand up and say, man, look, I don't need to go do this. I know I don't need to be there with you. Or what happens a lot of times, what? We acquiesce and we just go on and do something. Now let me bring this over spiritually. Maybe when you came into the faith and you were still young, a babe in Christ, you know, the things that kept you was like, well, the Bible teaches this. Well, Brother Greg and the elders and them at the church say this. My brothers and sisters, you know. But after a while, you got to grow up to the point where don't be blaming the church. You got to take control for yourself and say, look, I ain't doing that because I know it's not right for me. And I've made my decision now based upon what the church, what the Bible teaches, based upon what I've been taught. This is why I'm not going to do it. See, Paul didn't put nothing on. Paul said what? Yet not I, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, said, yet not I, but what? Christ that's living in me. And he said, now this is why I'm doing this, because the life I now lead, I live, what? Because of Christ. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. So we need to grow up and stop blaming. We blame the church for our righteous behavior. When folk ask you, man, come on, why don't you go to this wine tasting party? Well, you know, my church don't teach this. And first of all, if you say that, you need to get that out your vocabulary. Because this church don't teach nothing but what God said. We don't have a creed. We don't have a certain other little book that gives. What do we teach? We teach what Christ said. What brings us into existence? The Word. The church exists because of the Word. Because it's in God's Word. And we exist because of the Word. Like the scripture said in Ephesians, by the washing and the regeneration, by the Word. So this is what gives us life. This gives us our cues. This tells us what to do. So don't go out there telling nobody that the Church of Christ taught you to do that. God's Word taught you this. The Church of Christ is what you are part of. The body of Christ, you belong to Christ. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. And where do we get our teachings from? We get them from the Word. So don't blame the church. Well, you know that down there at the church, no, that's wrong. The Bible says this. This is what we call the Bible. So we as the Church of Christ, there's no Church of Christ teaching that we act like that. We have some man-made traditions that we attribute to the body of Christ, but we do what the Word says. So don't blame the church, and don't even blame the Bible. Don't blame. Well, you know, the Bible says this. Well, that's an external motivation. When's it going to ever become personal to you? When's it going to become because this is what I believe? And I'm not going to do this because I've chosen to what? Follow God's Word. When do you make it practical? When you like, well, you know the Bible. So that means if the Bible was out the way, you would do whatever they'd ask you to do. See, we blame it. That's why we got a hole in our holiness, because we be blaming stuff. We don't take no accountability for ourselves. That is me. I've decided. I've made these decisions. I've made this conviction because of what I know. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. See, when you come into Christ, you are in Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that you put on Christ. So you're in Christ. And guess what Paul said? Because I'm crucified with Christ, Christ is in me. That's why you do what you're supposed to do. That's your answer. Not because you're blaming the church or because of this, I can't do this. No, because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. I can't do what you want me to do. I can't go do this. I can't go run to the same excessive ride that you run to do because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. And we are one together. That's your reason. See, when you go into holiness, you understand that I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. One and the same. I can't walk outside of what Christ would have to do. I don't have to go get permission because Christ has already told me in his word what he wants me to do. Christ has already showed me the path I need to follow and the pursuit to holiness. So, brother, what, man, my chair, why are you doing this? Because, man, I'm trying to be holy. When you ever told anybody that? When was the last time you told somebody, like, I'm trying to be holy? Man, I'm just trying to obey God. When ever told anybody that? We tell people we are Christian. We tell people we go to church. Those are all external things. But whenever we told somebody, man, I'm trying to be holy. Man, try said, be holy. Like, man, I'm just trying to be holy every day. That's my goal. When have we told people that? When do we share that with everybody? I'm just trying to be holy. Because it don't sound cool. It don't sound holiness. What's that, man? You are like a holy roller. You jealous. See, we got these other connotations in our mind. But we need to tell people, man, we're trying to be holy. We're God's people. Man, we're peculiar. We are God's special people. He's cut us out from the world. That's why we're the called out, the Iglesia. We are the church. because we've been called out. He called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Start telling people that. Start telling people that message. I've been called out of darkness into light. I can't walk back over here. I can't do it no more. Why can't I can't do it no more? Because I've been crucified with Christ. I'm in Christ, Christ in me, and we together. That's why I can't do what you want me to do. Because I've been crucified. I'm dead. Them things are dead. Paul said that he kept all them things for what? Loss. If you want to even get more graphic, Paul said that stuff is what? Dumb. Okay? Paul said that. I am dead to the world, and the world is what? Dead to me. But we got a hole in our holiness as we wrap up today, because some of them things is still alive to us. We ain't killed them all yet. We haven't. Paul said, mortify your members. So there's some stuff still living in us somewhere that we need to go and get a surgical knife and start cutting out. We need to start cutting out some of this stuff and stop allowing stuff in our lives that allow them things. And sometimes you're going to just allow some stuff in the fringes of your lives that allow it to come in. YouTube, Facebooking. They're acceptable things. But they can bring a lot of garbage in your life, can they not? Amen? Yes. Do they not bring a lot of garbage in our life? Yes. Some of our movies. We got to look at them. You know, we get used to, we just kind of watch around that. Okay, you keep watching around that. You got a hole in your holiness. I'm talking to me, too. We got to put some of them things to death. But see, you don't want to be cool. You don't want to not be cool, Montreal, when they ask you, man, did you see so-and-so, so-and-so? Nah, man, I didn't go see it. Why didn't you go see it, Marcia? Man, I'm trying to be holy, man. That stuff got some. Man, I saw from the trailers. That's got some mess in that movie I don't even want to see. I don't want my eyes to see them naked flesh running around like that. I don't want to see that. Not for me. I don't want to see it. So I didn't go see the latest Denzel movie. I'm sorry. Call me square. Call me unhip. No, I did not go see it because I'm trying to be holy. What have you ever said that? What have we said that? Have we given up on sanctification altogether? Isaiah 64 and 6. We get ready to close here. When have we said those things? We don't say, we don't talk like that. That's the, if you're looking at me strange because that ain't in your vocabulary. You don't say stuff like that. You don't tell folks, man, you got the latest so-and-so record? No, I'm trying to be holy. You got the latest Jay-Z record? No, I'm trying to be holy. You got the latest, have you seen Kim Kardashian? Did you see that thing they posted on Facebook? No, I'm trying to be holy. Did you hear the latest dirty joke they said about Donald Trump? No, I'm trying to be holy. Did you hear the latest thing they said about Ivanka Trump? No, I'm trying to be holy. Did you see the latest? No, I'm trying to be holy. As soon as I saw it, I deleted it. I'm trying to be holy. No, I didn't see it. Did you see it? No, I didn't see it. Man, what's wrong with you? I'm trying to be holy. You see, we don't talk like that. See, y'all looking at me funny. Y'all ain't talking. That ain't in your vocabulary. We don't say that kind of stuff. Well, no, I didn't get a chance around to go see it. You know, I would have seen it. No, I ain't downloaded that. Yeah, I would download it. See, we still blame. We still like we was when we were a kid. Blaming mama for everything. But, well, my mama won't let me do it. Why don't you just stand up and tell the kids you didn't want to go do it? Why don't you tell them, man, you're going to be some drinking there, and I know that's wrong. I don't need my mama to tell me that. In fact, my kids the other day can look at me. They used to come to me with some stuff. I was like, you've been in this house with me 13, 14 years, and you, I don't even know how you came to ask me that question. Could you go do that? I don't even know how you that came out your mouth. You should know by now. That's something I ain't going to even in 1,000 years let you do. So why did you? Because they thought I was slipping. They're going to catch me tripping on a bad day, and they were going to ask me, could they go do something? So they still, daddy, can we go? I'm like, that should never came to me. You've been in this house, you know me. You could have cut that right off of the past and said, look, I can't go there. I know my parents are here. I ain't even going to ask them. I know I ain't going. That ain't going to fly. But no, they still come to me. Yeah, can I? That's us. We still think that the Lord tripping on the day, he ain't going to look. And no. We know the Lord. We've been if you've been walking with the Lord, if you tasted the Lord, know he's good. You know where God going to step. At least you should. And if you don't, you need to get back in his word. Like David said, you need to hide his word in your heart so that you won't sin against him, sin against God. So we need to know. And we know we can cut stuff off of the past. No, hey, that ain't even going to fly with the Lord. Christ is in me. I'm in Christ. That ain't even going to fly. I ain't going to look at this. I ain't going to see this. Isaiah 64 and 6. But we are all as unclean as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Isaiah said, our righteousness is what? Some filthy rags. Filthy rags. Folks, we need to pursue holiness. Is there a hole in our holiness? Why is there a hole? You look at the many reasons I've just listed here today. Maybe one of them reasons fits you. Maybe one of those reasons you can resonate. Maybe a lot of them do. If they do, just say ouch and go home and get your spiritual needle and thread out and get to mending. Get to mending. I got a hole. Let me get to mending. That's okay. When we find out we got a hole, just like Brother I said, Brother Mahone, you find out you got a hole in your pocket, that means I just need to take these pants off, put them aside, and send them to the tailor, or get my thread out and fix them. That's all. When we point out something, a defect like that, just go fix it. And so that way, you know, your vulnerability won't be there. It may be somewhere else, but it's not going to be this pocket. Maybe it may be the other pocket, and when that pocket get a hole in it, fix that one. Fix the holes that come up. But see, some of what we've been going for so long, we ain't fixed the holes, so we got a bunch of them. Then you got a hole over here. You got a hole over there. So when they come up and you see, you discover, when you teach, when you read God's word or study God's word and it reveals a hole in your life, fix it. When you hear the preaching, Brother Greg and those brothers that preach, when you see, you come out here like, man, he exposed the hole. You need to go home and start reading some scriptures and doing some stuff to what? To sew that hole up and cover it up. Because guess what? Our whole life, that's all we're going to be doing. There's going to be some more holes coming. We're not going to totally get it complete until what? We get with the Father. But he wants us to be pursuing and trying to cover it up. We can't just give up and say, well, Lord, the Christian life was just too hard, man. I couldn't keep it together. You think that's going to be acceptable? No, he expects us to walk and live. And when you walk and live and are pursuing holiness, God will know it. He knows that we're not going to do it complete perfectly, but as long as we every day praying and asking for forgiveness and sort of holes in our life, then he can come and look at you and say, well done. You did it. You lived every day. You lived up to the best of your ability. But if we just put up our whole hands and say, well, Lord, the world was just too bad, man. There was just too many temptations, Lord. I just could not do it. That's not going to fly. That's not going to be acceptable. So as you see these holes, whatever your holes are, I talked about some things that go back and say, maybe I need to change the way I talk. Maybe I need to stop being more open about what I'm trying to pursue. Like I said in the first lesson, your behavior. Do people know that you're just about behaving and doing what the Lord wants you to do? Now, I know when we was kids, that wasn't cool to let your friends know that you was really interested in behaving and doing what your parents. We'd act good at home, but then I'd get out in the street, try to act another way, but then we didn't want nobody to know that we was really about behaving and doing what our mama said to do. And sometimes we like that with our spiritual father. We get out there in the world, we act one way, and we don't really let them know that, hey, it's important to me how I behave. It's important to me that I represent my Heavenly Father in a certain kind of way. And so I'm not afraid to tell you, no, I didn't see this. I'm not afraid to tell you I didn't do that. I'm not afraid to tell you I can't go over here and do this. I'm not afraid to tell you this because this is my pride. I'm pursuing holiness. But what's that mean? Well, let me show you what that means. Let me show you what that means. Let me show you what that means to me. Let me show you what that is in the scripture. And let me show you how better your life can be if you start to pursue holiness. See, that's what we need to be. God called us from the life can be if you start to pursue holiness. See, that's what we need to be. God called us from the life can be if you start to pursue holiness. See, that's what we need to be. God called us from the life can be if you